Have you ever felt like you're constantly overlooked, despite giving your best? Do you wonder why some people effortlessly command attention while others struggle in silence? Today, we're about to uncover 9 powerful psychological strategies based on Stoic teachings that, once understood and applied, can elevate your influence and make you a priority in any room you enter. One of these strategies is so subtle yet immensely powerful that you might have been using it without even knowing. Through the Stoic lens, you'll not only gain insights into the human psyche but also learn how to harmoniously shift dynamics in your conversations, meetings, and even in seemingly ordinary day-to-day interactions. I urge you to stay with me until the end, because every strategy, every piece of this puzzle, amplifies the next. Miss one, and you'll miss the complete picture. If you're as passionate about personal growth as I believe you are, take a moment to hit that notification bell and subscribe. It's crucial to approach these strategies as tools for understanding human behavior and for ethically navigating social dynamics, leaning towards influence and awareness. Are you ready to see what's been hidden in plain sight? Let's unravel this together. 1. Cultivate mystery. Cultivate mystery is one of the most subtle yet powerful strategies for influencing people, and its allure lies in the primal human need to explore the unknown. Mystery pulls at the strings of curiosity, a force so potent that it has guided explorers to the edges of the earth and scientists to the farthest reaches of space. The same pull can draw people towards you, creating an undeniable allure that makes others seek your presence, opinions, and attention. Think of the magnetic appeal of a hidden treasure. Its value isn't just in the gold, but in the mystery surrounding it. When you cultivate a sense of mystery around yourself, you become that treasure. You intrigue those around you by not revealing everything at once. You share pieces of yourself in a calculated way, leaving others wanting more. The key is subtlety. Instead of oversharing, which is common in today's hyper-connected world, you selectively reveal your thoughts, ideas, or experiences. You might choose to share a deeply insightful comment, but leave the full story unspoken, or perhaps hint at an exciting project you're working on without giving all the details. This doesn't mean being secretive or evasive. It's about fostering intrigue, much like the slow unraveling of a suspenseful novel where each chapter reveals just enough to keep you hooked. Marcus Aurelius, a Stoic philosopher, famously said, "The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane." In a world that thrives on oversharing and constant visibility, stepping away from the crowd by being more reserved creates a stark contrast. By choosing not to blend into the noise, you signal that your thoughts, your company, and your time are special. However, there's a fine line between mystery and detachment. You're not trying to push people away, but rather to gently pull them in with a slow burn of intrigue. Think of mystery as the art of controlled revelation. You invite curiosity not by hiding, but by selectively sharing and leaving spaces for the imagination to fill. This is a timeless approach, rooted in both Stoicism and ancient wisdom. It allows you to maintain your authenticity while subtly influencing others to see you as someone of depth, worth seeking out, and worth prioritizing. The moment people start wondering what you're thinking or what drives you, you've won. That curiosity places you at the forefront of their mind, even when you're not present. 2. Use strategic silence. Use strategic silence is a psychological power play that speaks volumes without saying a word. In a world where everyone is racing to be heard, silence becomes an unexpected and compelling force. The ability to wield silence with precision can shift the dynamics of any conversation, meeting, or negotiation, making you a presence that is felt deeply, even without a single utterance. Imagine yourself in a heated debate. Voices rise, emotions flare, and everyone is eager to jump in. In this chaos, the temptation to speak up, defend your stance, or counter someone else's point feels irresistible. But instead of joining the verbal free-for-all, you pause, observe, and choose silence. That moment of quiet tension pulls all the energy toward you. Suddenly, the room becomes aware of your stillness, and curiosity brews. What are you thinking? What are you holding back? Strategic silence isn't about passivity. It's about wielding power in the quiet spaces between words. When you choose not to speak, you create an aura of depth and control. You give the impression that you're carefully considering your response, that your words, when they do come, carry weight and significance. People hang on your silence, anticipating what you'll say next. This builds suspense and positions you as someone who doesn't waste words, but whose voice matters when it's finally heard. In the Stoic tradition, silence isn't just the absence of sound, it's the presence of thought. Epictetus, the great Stoic philosopher, reminds us, "We have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak." Strategic silence allows you to listen more deeply, to understand the motivations, desires, and emotions driving the conversation. While others are busy filling the air with words, you are gathering crucial information, reading between the lines, and strengthening your position. Consider this: during a negotiation, everyone is eager to push their agenda. The natural instinct is to fill every gap in the conversation, thinking silence might signal weakness or indecision. But those gaps are where the magic of silence unfolds. By pausing, you create tension. The other party starts to wonder if they've said too much or if they need to say more. They often fill the void with additional information, revealing their true thoughts or their vulnerabilities. You've gained an advantage without saying a thing. Strategic silence also gives you control over timing. When you speak too soon, you might miss the opportunity to fully understand the situation. But when you pause and let silence linger, you seize control of the conversation's tempo. You become the conductor, deciding when the symphony of words begins again and what tune it plays. However, silence is a double-edged sword. Used too often, it can be misinterpreted as disinterest or aloofness. The key is in the balance, alternating between moments of quiet contemplation and insightful speech. The impact lies in your ability to choose silence with intention, to make every word, when it finally arrives, carry the weight of your thoughts. In mastering this, you become like a chess grandmaster, thinking several moves ahead while your opponent scrambles to fill the silence. You not only influence the conversation, but you also reshape how people perceive you. They see you as composed, thoughtful, and wise, and as a result, they begin to value and prioritize your presence in any room. Strategic silence, when used skillfully, transforms you from a participant in the conversation into the architect of its outcome. The tension you create by saying nothing at all can be more powerful than anything you might have said. 3. Master persuasive storytelling. Master persuasive storytelling is a technique as old as time itself, yet its power remains timeless. Imagine standing in a crowded room, vying for attention amidst the noise. You could list facts, make logical arguments, and hope your words stick, or you could tell a story. A well-crafted story doesn't just make people listen, it captivates, influences, and leaves a lasting impression. It has the power to bypass defenses, spark emotions, and subtly guide the way someone sees the world, all while keeping them enchanted by every word. Storytelling is not just about sharing information. It's about creating a visceral connection. Think back to ancient times, long before writing or technology existed. Our ancestors gathered around fires, sharing tales of survival, triumph, and wisdom. Stories were not just entertainment. They were tools of influence, shaping beliefs, decisions, and the very fabric of societies. The same primal force lies within you when you master the art of storytelling. Imagine you're in a business meeting, trying to get your team on board with a risky new idea. You could present a series of data points, cold statistics that speak to logic, but that only reaches the surface. Instead, you tell them a story of a small, scrappy company facing a similar challenge years ago. You paint a vivid picture of the fear, the doubt, and then the breakthrough, the moment when the team embraced the challenge and reaped rewards beyond their wildest dreams. Suddenly, your risky idea isn't just numbers on a page, it's a hero's journey, and your team is the hero. You've transformed a proposal into a quest, something they want to be a part of. What makes storytelling so persuasive is its ability to blend emotion with reason. Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher, once said, "Men are disturbed not by things, but by the views they take of them." When you tell a story, you're not just offering a new perspective, you're guiding people to experience that perspective. Through stories, you're shaping how people feel about the facts, and feelings drive decisions far more than cold logic does. Take any great political speech, revolutionary manifesto, or inspirational TED Talk. At its heart is a compelling story. These stories may not always be about grand adventures or mythical creatures, but they are infused with human struggle, perseverance, and transformation. They take abstract concepts and root them in real, relatable experiences. By doing this, the speaker creates a mirror in which the audience sees themselves. They don't just listen, they feel a part of the narrative, and that emotional connection makes the message unforgettable. But it's not just the content of the story that matters, it's how you tell it. The delivery, timing, and structure are all vital components. A master storyteller builds tension, leads the audience to a journey, and delivers a resolution that feels both inevitable and surprising. You reveal just enough to keep them curious, but you hold back enough to make them lean in, hungry for more. The rhythm of your words, the pause at the right moment, the way your voice rises and falls, it all weaves a spell that draws people deeper into your tale. However, persuasive storytelling isn't about manipulation or embellishment. It's about authenticity. The most powerful stories are grounded in truth, either your own or someone else's, and they reflect universal themes: fear, courage, love, loss, and the human desire to overcome adversity. When people sense that a story is genuine, they let their guard down. They're no longer skeptical, they're open, receptive, and ready to be persuaded. Consider the tale of Odysseus from the Odyssey. It's not just a series of events, it's a story of human endurance, cleverness, and the deep yearning for home. This epic has influenced generations because it speaks to something deeply human, something timeless. When you tap into this kind of storytelling, you're not just communicating, you're planting ideas, shifting perceptions, and inspiring action in ways that facts and logic alone could never achieve. When you master persuasive storytelling, you wield an ancient power that transcends time and place. It's a power that can inspire, challenge, and transform. You don't just speak, you craft experiences, engage emotions, and leave a lasting imprint on those who listen. And once you've harnessed this skill, you'll find that not only do people listen to you, they'll remember you. They'll carry your story with them long after the conversation ends. 4. Apply the principle of reciprocity. The principle of reciprocity is one of the most potent forces in human interaction. It's an invisible, almost instinctive dance that shapes our behavior, often without us even realizing it. Reciprocity, at its core, is the social rule that says, "I will do something for you, and you will feel compelled to return the favor." But when applied strategically, this simple human tendency can create bonds, sway decisions, and foster loyalty in ways that transcend mere transactions. Imagine walking into a store, and a sales associate offers you a free sample of a luxurious chocolate truffle. It's a small gesture, seemingly inconsequential, but it immediately triggers something deep within you. Without even thinking, you feel an urge to engage more with that store, perhaps to purchase something or even just to feel a sense of goodwill toward the person who gave you that treat. This is reciprocity at work, something so subtle and natural, yet powerful enough to influence your choices. Now, let's elevate this principle beyond chocolate samples and simple favors. Picture yourself as an entrepreneur pitching a bold new idea to potential investors. You don't just ask for their support outright. Instead, you offer them something first: insights, a personalized experience, or perhaps a valuable introduction within your network. You provide value, and suddenly, the dynamic shifts. They no longer feel you're just asking for something, they feel subtly obligated to reciprocate, whether that's through interest, investment, or goodwill. Reciprocity has transformed a cold, transactional exchange into a partnership built on trust and mutual benefit. The true brilliance of reciprocity lies in its psychological roots. Human beings, from the earliest tribal societies, have relied on cooperation to survive. Sharing food, resources, or protection wasn't just kind, it was essential for survival. Over centuries, this deep need for mutual exchange became hardwired into our social instincts. When someone does something for us, it feels almost wrong not to return the gesture. Even when we know the game, when we recognize someone is employing reciprocity strategically, we still feel that pull, as if we're part of a primal agreement that binds us to them. One of the most intriguing aspects of reciprocity is its ability to create a sense of indebtedness. A small gesture, a favor, a compliment, a gift, can linger in someone's mind, gently reminding them that the scales are tipped. And people, by their very nature, crave balance. They want to even the scales, to settle the score, whether they're aware of it or not. This psychological unease drives them to reciprocate, to give back something of value. And therein lies the hidden power. But reciprocity isn't about manipulation or using others. It's about building genuine relationships where value is exchanged freely. It's the cornerstone of meaningful interactions, whether in personal relationships or business. In friendships, a simple act of kindness can cement a bond for life. In business, offering unexpected value can transform a skeptical client into a loyal advocate. One example of reciprocity in action comes from the hospitality industry. You might have noticed that hotel staff often leave small tokens like chocolates on pillows or offer complimentary services. These aren't random gestures. They're calculated acts of reciprocity designed to make guests feel cared for. In return, guests are more likely to tip generously, leave positive reviews, or book another stay. The hotel has turned a simple gesture into a chain of positive returns. What's even more fascinating is how reciprocity works in reverse. Sometimes, people go out of their way to ask for help, knowing that the act of asking creates its own form of reciprocity. By allowing someone to help you, you're subtly setting the stage for a future exchange, because now, you've given them the chance to be of value, and they'll expect that when the time comes, the favor will flow back in their direction. This creates a virtuous cycle of giving and receiving, one that strengthens relationships and fosters loyalty. Mastering the principle of reciprocity isn't just about getting people to do things for you. It's about creating a culture of mutual respect, where value flows freely in both directions. Whether you're building friendships, negotiating deals, or simply navigating everyday life, the principle of reciprocity is a quiet, but deeply powerful, tool that can transform how you interact with the world. When you apply it consciously, you can wield its influence with precision, giving just enough to trigger that sense of balance, knowing that it will come back to you in unexpected and often amplified ways. 5. Prioritize yourself. Prioritizing yourself is a powerful, often misunderstood art. It's not about selfishness, but about recognizing that you are the foundation upon which everything else in your life is built. Think of yourself as the root system of a towering tree. If those roots are neglected, the tree will eventually weaken, its branches drooping, leaves withering. But when nourished, the tree stands tall, resilient against the harshest winds. Prioritizing yourself is about tending to your roots, so you can grow, thrive, and stand strong for yourself and others. In a world that celebrates selflessness, where being busy is worn like a badge of honor, the act of putting yourself first feels almost rebellious. We're conditioned to believe that constantly sacrificing our needs is noble, that giving endlessly is virtuous. But here's the intriguing truth: you cannot pour from an empty cup. If you do not take care of your own mental, emotional, and physical well-being, you'll have little left to offer. Prioritizing yourself is not an act of deprivation but of abundance. When you make yourself the priority, you're sending a clear message to the universe and to those around you: I value myself. And here's the secret: people mirror that. When you respect your time, energy, and boundaries, others are more likely to respect them too. It's an unspoken contract. By asserting your needs, you're setting the standard for how others will treat you. You become the architect of your own life, not a passive participant. Imagine, for a moment, you're on an airplane. During the safety instructions, they always tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before helping others. Why? Because if you're gasping for air, you're in no position to save anyone else. Life is exactly like that. Prioritizing yourself is putting your oxygen mask on first. It ensures you have the breath, the strength, the clarity to handle whatever comes your way, and to help others when they need it most. But how does one actually prioritize themselves without feeling guilty or appearing indifferent to others? It starts with setting boundaries, firm yet compassionate ones. This isn't about building walls. It's about drawing lines that protect your energy. When you say no to things that drain you or distract you from your purpose, you're saying yes to things that uplift, inspire, and rejuvenate you. It's like clearing the clutter from your life so you can focus on what truly matters. Prioritizing yourself also involves deep self-awareness. You must become attuned to what your body, mind, and soul need. That might mean dedicating time to rest, without feeling guilty for being unproductive. It could mean pursuing passions that ignite your spirit, regardless of whether they're practical or profitable. Or it might mean surrounding yourself with people who uplift you, while distancing yourself from those who drain your energy. The intriguing aspect of prioritizing yourself is that it doesn't just benefit you, it has a ripple effect. When you're operating from a place of fullness, you're better equipped to show up for others in a more meaningful way. Your relationships improve because you're not relying on them to fill your cup. You've already done that for yourself. Your work improves because you're more focused and energized. Even your creativity and decision-making sharpen because your mind isn't cluttered with the overwhelm that comes from constantly putting others first. Take the greats of history, artists, thinkers, leaders, many of them were ruthlessly devoted to protecting their time, energy, and well-being. They knew that their ability to contribute to the world depended on how well they took care of themselves. Look at someone like Leonardo da Vinci, who prioritized curiosity and exploration, often turning down commissions to pursue his own projects. Or Marie Curie, who fiercely guarded her time in the lab, despite societal expectations. Their legacies were built on the foundation of self-prioritization. When you make yourself a priority, you're not just looking after your present self, you're also investing in your future self. Every act of self-care, every boundary you set, and every pursuit of joy adds up. You become more than just reactive to life's demands, you become proactive, consciously shaping the direction of your life. So, prioritizing yourself isn't about turning your back on the world. It's about positioning yourself in such a way that you can contribute to it fully, without burning out, without resentment, and with your authentic self intact. It's about realizing that your needs matter, and when they are met, you are empowered to create, connect, and give from a place of strength, rather than depletion. It's the ultimate act of self-respect and, paradoxically, the most generous gift you can offer to others. 6. Genuinely listen to people. To genuinely listen to someone is to unlock a door to their inner world, a world where their thoughts, feelings, and experiences reside, often hidden beneath the surface of their words. It's more than simply hearing them. It's about immersing yourself in their reality, like a diver plunging into the depths of an unexplored ocean. Every word they say becomes a current, every pause a signal, every inflection a clue. And in this ocean, the more you explore, the more you discover treasures that most people miss in their haste to respond or interject. True listening requires you to silence not just the external noise, but the internal one too. Think of it like stilling a pond. The quieter your mind, the clearer the reflection of the person speaking. So often, we're distracted by our own thoughts, formulating our next response, planning what we'll say to impress, or judging the speaker's words. Genuine listening, however, is an act of surrender. You let go of your ego, your need to be heard, and instead become a vessel for someone else's truth. In that moment, their voice becomes the only thing that matters. What's intriguing about truly listening is that it's almost a superpower. When you make someone feel heard, really heard, you create an invisible bond with them. It's not something they can always articulate, but they feel it deeply. A magnetic connection forms, one of trust and respect. Suddenly, walls that people build to protect themselves from the outside world start to crumble. They open up, reveal their vulnerabilities, and share things they wouldn't dare tell others. Why? Because they sense your genuine interest, and that's rare in a world full of distractions and half-hearted conversations. There's something almost mystical about how much you can learn when you listen without judgment. You start to hear not just what people say, but what they leave unsaid. In their pauses, their hesitations, you begin to recognize the subtle patterns of emotion, fear, excitement, doubt, or longing. Words become like brushstrokes on a canvas, and through attentive listening, you see the full picture being painted before you. It's in this silence between words that people often communicate the most profound truths about themselves, and when you tune in, you become a witness to the raw essence of their being. Listening, in its purest form, is an act of empathy. You step into their shoes, not just to understand their point of view, but to feel it as if it were your own. And here's where it becomes even more fascinating. When you genuinely listen, the person speaking often discovers things about themselves in the process. It's as if your attention acts as a mirror, reflecting their thoughts back at them in a clearer, more insightful way. They walk away from the conversation with a sense of clarity, not because you gave them advice, but because you provided the space for them to hear themselves more deeply. Imagine sitting across from someone, their eyes meeting yours, and as they speak, you focus entirely on them. You nod not just to acknowledge, but to encourage them to continue. You ask questions that delve deeper, not to interrogate, but to understand. You let silences hang in the air without rushing to fill them because you know that sometimes, the most important things emerge from the quiet. In those moments, you are giving them a rare gift, your undivided attention. And the beauty of it? When you genuinely listen, you become more memorable. People may not recall the specifics of what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel, valued, respected, understood. This creates a kind of loyalty, a bond that goes beyond surface-level relationships. You become someone they can trust, someone they want to confide in, someone they look forward to speaking with because they know they will walk away feeling seen and heard. But here's the paradox. While listening is such a simple act, it's also incredibly rare. In a fast-paced world, full of distractions, social media, and endless to-do lists, the art of listening is becoming a lost skill. Yet those who master it stand out. It's a form of quiet influence. People are drawn to good listeners not because they are loud or charismatic, but because they offer something invaluable, presence. So, next time someone speaks to you, treat it like a moment of alchemy. See their words as the gold waiting to be uncovered. Resist the urge to interrupt or offer solutions right away. Instead, lean in. Listen with your whole self. In doing so, you'll not only enrich your relationships, but you'll also cultivate a deeper understanding of the human experience, a rich tapestry of stories waiting to be told, and, more importantly, to be heard. 7. Create scarcity. Creating scarcity taps into one of the most primal aspects of human psychology, the fear of missing out. The moment something becomes scarce, its perceived value skyrockets. It's not merely about denying access, but about awakening a subtle, almost irresistible desire within others, making them crave what seems fleeting or rare. Imagine a treasure chest buried deep in the sand, its location known only to a select few. The knowledge that it's difficult to find, that not everyone can possess it, transforms the chest into something much more than a container of gold. It becomes an obsession, a quest. Scarcity plays on the same allure in everyday life. When something or someone is not easily available, it automatically becomes more enticing, more mysterious, more worthy of pursuit. Scarcity, when used with finesse, makes people realize they may not always have access to what you offer, whether it's your time, resources, or attention. In relationships, it's the person who isn't always readily available, the one who doesn't reveal everything at once, who commands more intrigue. When you pull back just enough, you create a vacuum that others instinctively want to fill. They begin to wonder, why is this person holding back? What is it that I'm missing? The power behind creating scarcity lies in its subtlety. It's not about being absent or evasive to the point of irritation. Rather, it's about selective availability, choosing moments when you make yourself fully present, and others when you retreat into your own space. Like a rare flower that only blooms on certain nights, your presence becomes something to be anticipated, even longed for. In business, scarcity often manifests in the form of limited editions, flash sales, or exclusive memberships. The fear that something could vanish at any moment drives urgency. Think of limited time offers or the allure of luxury brands that only a few can afford. Scarcity signals rarity, and humans are wired to covet what's rare. It's a magnetic pull that lures people closer, making them want to seize the opportunity before it disappears. But it's not just about physical things. Emotional scarcity can be equally powerful. When someone is elusive with their emotions, revealing only glimpses of vulnerability or affection, it triggers a deep curiosity. People are wired to seek out what is withheld from them, like trying to grasp smoke. It's this chase, the pursuit of the rare, that becomes addictive. The mind starts to spin, thinking about how to get closer, how to crack the code of someone who seems just out of reach. There's also an art to withdrawing at just the right moment. After all, what's more fascinating? Someone who's always around, always accessible, or someone whose absence makes you feel their presence even more strongly? When you carefully curate moments of scarcity, it's not about manipulation, but about preserving your worth. It's about ensuring that others recognize the value of your presence, attention, or affection because they've seen what it's like to go without it. In social dynamics, the concept of scarcity can work wonders. It's not about playing hard to get, but about knowing your value and ensuring others do too. When you become someone who is in high demand but short supply, your influence grows. People start to see you as someone worth chasing, worth waiting for, worth investing in. This doesn't mean isolating yourself or playing games, but rather balancing accessibility with mystery. Consider the allure of the forbidden or unavailable. It's the reason why people desire what's just beyond their grasp. When a book is banned, it becomes a bestseller. When an event is exclusive, people clamor for invites. Humans are drawn to what they feel they can have, and scarcity amplifies this instinct. It stirs curiosity, fuels passion, and heightens attraction. But here's the nuance: scarcity, if overplayed, can backfire. If people feel they have no chance at all, they'll stop trying. The key is to offer just enough access to keep the intrigue alive. It's like a game of cat and mouse: retreat, but not so far that the other person gives up. Engage, but not so much that you lose your aura of rarity. In essence, scarcity is the art of leaving people wanting more. It's the cliffhanger that keeps them turning the page, the elusive feeling that there's always more to discover if only they try a little harder. When you master this, you don't just create desire, you create obsession. And in that delicate balance of presence and absence, you become unforgettable. 8. Master emotions. Mastering emotions is like becoming the captain of a ship in a sea of chaos, able to navigate through turbulent waves with an unshakable calm. While the world around you may be stormy, full of emotional tempests, anger, frustration, jealousy, you become the eye of the storm, centered, untouchable, and in full control. But emotional mastery is not about suppressing what you feel. It's about understanding the deeper currents that drive your reactions and learning how to steer them to your advantage. Imagine emotions as powerful forces of nature, like fire or wind. Uncontrolled, they can consume you, sweep you off your feet, and lead you into destructive situations. But once mastered, they become tools at your disposal, fuel for passion, wind for your sails, an engine of extraordinary power. The difference between being ruled by your emotions and mastering them lies in awareness, discipline, and purpose. The first step to mastering your emotions is self-awareness. Emotions are signals, not enemies. When anger rises, it's telling you that a boundary has been crossed or that something important is at stake. When fear grips you, it's highlighting an uncertainty or threat. Instead of being swept away by these feelings, mastering them means listening closely to what they're trying to communicate. It's as if you're standing on a mountaintop, watching clouds roll in, aware that the storm is coming, but prepared, observant, and grounded. Take anger, for instance. In its raw form, it's explosive and reactive, but in the hands of a master, anger becomes fuel for righteous action. Instead of lashing out, the master of emotions channels that fiery energy into clarity, decisiveness, and bold moves. The anger is not suppressed but transmuted into something constructive. It's no longer a wild beast but a powerful force to be used with intention. The mastery of emotions also grants you an almost supernatural ability to remain calm under pressure. In moments of crisis, when others panic, the emotionally mastered individual becomes a beacon of serenity. They radiate a cool, unshakable confidence that others are drawn to, like moths to a flame. When emotions are running high in a group, fear, anxiety, or excitement, your emotional stability can influence the entire atmosphere. You become the person everyone turns to when things fall apart, the one who doesn't flinch when faced with adversity. However, mastery over emotions doesn't mean being detached or cold. Quite the opposite. It means being able to experience emotions deeply, but with clarity and control. A master doesn't shy away from feeling joy, love, or sadness. Instead, they understand these emotions on a fundamental level, knowing when to embrace them fully and when to step back, like an artist knowing when to apply color to a canvas and when to leave a space untouched. Emotionally mastering yourself also makes you an adept reader of others. People often wear emotional masks, but when you've mastered your own emotional landscape, you can see beyond the surface of others. You become sensitive to their hidden fears, desires, and insecurities, giving you an edge in any social interaction. You'll know when someone is bluffing, when they're vulnerable, or when they're trying to manipulate you, because you've mastered those very same forces within yourself. In relationships, this mastery brings a sense of balance and respect. You no longer react impulsively to small slights or misunderstandings. Instead, you approach challenges with patience and wisdom. Emotional outbursts no longer dictate the terms of your connections, and you gain the ability to diffuse conflict before it spirals out of control. You become like a Zen master in a world of emotional turbulence, capable of calming a storm with just a glance or a word. But mastering emotions is not an easy path. It requires constant practice and reflection. It's the result of deep introspection, learning from mistakes, and facing the darker sides of your psyche. There will be times when emotions threaten to overwhelm you, when anger burns too hot or sadness too deep. Yet each of these moments is an opportunity for growth, a test of your resolve. In the end, mastering your emotions is about liberation. You free yourself from being a slave to impulsive reactions, and in doing so, you gain true power over yourself and over any situation. When you master your emotions, you hold the key to navigating life with grace, strength, and unyielding control. You become the author of your fate, the one who writes their own story, rather than being swept along by the tides of emotional chaos.